Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, friends. Welcome to the U Up Podcast. It's me, Nikki Glaser. How are you today? I'm doing pretty good. Thank you so much for all of the nice comments and messages I got, both recommending me shows to watch. There's a show called Sinners someone told me about, Too Hot to Handle, the, there's the one show with Kristen Bell and Don Cheadle. Someone said I would like that. I don't really like like scripted series. I know that's weird and everyone likes stuff like that, but I don't. I just want to watch people like really, like real people doing real things. I like reality TV and documentary stuff. I started rewatching. What's it called? Hot Girls Wanted, which is like about the porn industry. It's a documentary that was like from 2016, but I really recommend it. I didn't remember any of what I watched. Isn't that weird that you can watch a whole show and series and sink so much time into something, and then 2 years later, you like don't remember any of it? That's why I like to watch things multiple times, because I want them to sink in. You know that show, Andrew's watched the show, I Know This Much Is True on HBO, it just came out, Mark Ruffalo. I hear it's fantastic, but I read that book. It's a Wally Lamb book, and I loved it the first time. I read it again. It's a big-ass book. It's the only book I've ever read twice, besides, like, Goodnight Moon. And I don't remember literally anything about it. I'm not joking you. Nothing. Nothing about it. Not a single scene. Nothing. And I read it twice. And I wasn't, like, high when I read it. I wasn't drunk. I just don't retain things. And it was my favorite book. And I still say it's my favorite book. Do I know anything about it? Nothing. I really have given up on that romance novel, the one I was reading, the Kiss Quotient. I mean, there was part of me reading it being like, I should make this into a movie and I should star in it. Because that's a thing you can do, I guess. Like if you're a celebrity and you want a project, you can just like buy the rights to a book and then make it into a movie and then be in it. I mean, I don't know how I'm not famous enough to do that. This whole COVID thing happened right before I got truly famous enough to like have a lot of power and be able to do whatever I want. I'm just on the cusp. I'm where people think I'm famous enough, but now that this COVID has happened, I haven't been in the spotlight for 3 months, as no one has, except unless you get canceled. And so now I'm back at like where I was in 2015, I think. Like it's just my IMDb star meter. IMDb star meter rating has definitely sunk. But in my own mind, it's sunk. Like I just don't feel the way I felt in March about myself. I've talked to you guys about this. I talked about it yesterday, which a lot of you wrote to me about when I was talking about being depressed and having all those feelings, and how it made you feel better, and that made me feel so good that I'm not alone with those thoughts, and thanks for writing to me about it. So that means a lot. I slept 12 hours last night, legit 12 hours and 3 minutes, and I know that because I keep track of it on my Fitbit. And I woke up this morning, and I pressed my Fitbit, and I was like, I'm awake, and it was 12, I was asleep. I only woke up one time to go to the bathroom for 12 hours and 3 minutes. And I loved it. I was having great dreams. I just didn't want to get up. And it wasn't a depression sleep, even though it really sounds like it. I was just freaking tired. And I woke up, my parents were out at their jobs. They have jobs, I don't. And my dad got home. I gave him his present, he loved it. It was a cool shirt that I got in Kansas City. And I wrote this like really meaningful card. And then I looked at the card and my sister got him, and she really trumped me with her message. She's very eloquent and kind and like very emotional and sweet in her birthday letters. And it's just, so hers was really good too. But then my dad opened the card and I was like, can you not read that in front of me? Cause it's like, it was paragraph upon paragraph of like how I feel about him. And I could never say it to his face, you know? And so he went in another room and read it and then came back. And I think he like had to go off and cry or something. Cause it wasn't as good as my sister's and he was disappointed in me. Just kidding. That's what my mom does when she's drunk. She says something crazy and then she goes, just kidding. Like right after it. My mom, I can't believe she cleaned my room. I still can't get over it. I haven't seen her yet since she cleaned it, but I went to bed last night after I had recorded the podcast and, she hadn't made my bed, which was good. She just like made, I don't know. I think I made it before I left. So I don't think she touched my bed because all of my toys were in bed. And people might think that I'm like a, very sexual person because I've had sex shows. My special banging was about sex and I have 3 different sex toys. 2 are like clit sucking things. And the other is the Hitachi wand. And I only like have 2 of the ones because they're battery powered and sometimes they run out of juice. I know I do. And so, juiced up. And so they are all in my bed and they're all like tucked in. Like, I literally opened my bed. I like threw back the covers last night and I saw them all laying next to each other. And I started singing, "We are family." They looked like a family. And like the, you know, in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like all the grandparents in bed. I didn't use it. I have no desire to. I'm not going to put that jade egg in my vagina. I had someone write to me today that it can be bad for you. But I just feel like, yeah, if you leave it in for weeks, it's bad. Anything can be bad when not used in moderation. I want to moderately use a jade egg in my vagina, however that translates. So I still might do it, even though someone was like sent me an article about, I guess Gwyneth Paltrow said that she used the jade egg and anything she does, everyone wants to be mad about, including me. She makes me really upset how perfect she seems to be. I would like to see Gwyneth Paltrow like having a really bad day and like throwing herself on the floor and crying because her spray tan is like sloughing off and her hair feels thin and she ate too much or, you know, like, do you think she gets like that? I'm sure she does, but I would like to see that side of her, please. What else can I tell you? Mike Birbiglia is going to be on the show. I'm excited to talk to him. I'll preface it by saying that, I've known Mike for a really long time. I met him when I first started comedy in 2004. I think it was the summer of 2004. He came and talked to my comedy class that I was taking a comedy class at the St. Louis Funny Bone. And he was the headlining comedian that weekend. And so the headliner would always come to the comedy classes and talk to the comedy classes about comedy and give them advice and answer questions. And it was just like such a cool part of the class because the class was held at the comedy club. And Mike came and I had like not even done, I think I'd done like a couple open mics at that point. Maybe I'd been thinking about doing comedy a year, but not really doing it. It doesn't matter. I was very inexperienced. But we were pitching jokes and he like kind of sat in on a session and he heard one of my jokes and was like, that is really funny. He was like the first person who I respected who was like, you're not the first person, but one of the first, like an outsider, like a guy that just came through town and was like, oh my God, you're funny. And I was like, yes. And I felt so good. And I then developed the biggest crush on him because I was like, he thinks I'm funny. And I went on to be like obsessed with him in a way that I almost relate to this neighbor guy that I've been talking to, who's like much younger than me and has watched everything I've done, I think. And so I think he knows me better than he thinks he does because he's just watched me on TV a ton, probably listened to podcasts. And I'm like famous to him. And that was the way Mike was to me. He was like super famous to me. I watched all of his stand up and I was like in love. I remember telling my dad I was going to marry him. Cut to years later, we are really great friends. And it's so funny to me that I used to be like gaga over him and dead set on the idea that I was going to marry him. Like, I knew it. And my dad still teases me about it. Like, you told me, like, I'm 100% going to marry him. And yeah, I wrote it in his Father's Day card from 2 days ago, but 2 days ago, yesterday. But, you know, that was the past. I'm over it. No, I love Mike so much. I'm so excited to talk to him. He is still such a person that I talk to and always makes me feel so good about my sense of humor, which I question constantly, constantly, constantly. So it'll be good to talk to him, a little self-esteem boost, I'm sure. And we're going to talk to him about his new book, the new one, which is based off of his Broadway show, the new one, which I saw last year, which was phenomenal. And I don't even think you could see it anymore. No, it's on Netflix, duh. The new one, Mike Birbiglia, one of the greatest storytellers, one of the greatest comics I've ever known. And I read a chapter of his book today, and I'm going to ask him for advice on writing a book because, ooh boy, I am struggling more than I was even months ago when I first brought that up.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get into it. Yeah. And wait, well, what's the name of your...
The new one. Podcast? It's also the... Oh, the podcast is called Working It Out.
Working It Out, Working It
yes,
Out.
Yes, which okay. I want you to come on when you have
oh
a moment.
Oh my God, I would love to.
You're a busy person. I always feel bad asking busy people to do more stuff.
Yeah, I'm grateful that you think I'm a busy person. I'm glad that I read that way because I'm living with my parents. I no longer have a radio show that I'm doing every day. I do this podcast, but I mean, it's 30 minutes out of my
sure.
day. Not bad.
Sure.
And then I'm kind of starting to do stand up again, which is a weird thing that I want to talk to you about. But
are you really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of conflicted about it, but. And I'm trying
especially
to write a book.
Especially after DL.
I know. And I'm going to that club, Zany's, in a couple
gosh,
of weeks.
Oh my gosh. You gotta be kidding me.
I know. I'm having a call with my people about it later today because I just don't want to be a part of something that on the back end is going to look really irresponsible. But I also...
Or be irresponsible.
Or being irresponsible. I know, but the thing is, I'm not being irresponsible because I'm doing everything to not get it. I'm not scared about getting it, being on stage, talking into a mic that's been sanitized and walking into a club and not touching anything and washing my hands.
But you gotta get tested. That's the thing that DL taught me
okay.
was I think that the performers have to get tested.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I performed last week and there was a box on stage that they made with electrical tape to keep you there so that your spit range was well over 6 feet.
That should have existed decades ago. How is that a new invention?
I know, that's a really good point. I'm tired of having me walk around the stage with fake bravado. Yeah, keep them contained. I know, I remember months ago accidentally spitting on a woman after making some point. You know, just like, and you could see a piece of spit fly. And I was just like, I mean, months and months and months and months ago, like last year.
Yeah.
And,
I don't need Gary Gulman spitting on me just cause yeah. I like his jokes.
I mean, I would have been like flattered as an audience member at certain comedian shows if they spit on me, mainly you. Like I was just saying before your segment, I was so in love with you when I was a young comic. A legal young comic,
yes.
might I say. I was like, if I would have gotten a piece of spit of yours on me, because I used to do gross things. I used to go to like John Mayer concerts. I was in love with him. I was in love
oh,
with like
yeah.
Howie Day. And I would, one time I stole John Mayer's water bottle and drank like the remnants of it, which was just like a thin line of water at the bottom of it. And I was like, his backwash. It's like his
oh my
saliva.
Gosh.
And was
wow.
like so excited because I had such a crush.
I've known you for so long. I'm so excited to talk to you today about your new book, The New One, which is based upon the Broadway show.
It's an expansion of the Broadway show that you and Anya saw. And it's, and it includes my wife Jen's poems. And it's just like more stories, more jokes. And it's, I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, I read through some of it and God, you're such a good writer. I mean, which
I've
always known, obviously, for the stage. It's like no one compares to you in terms of just telling a story. So just using the perfect, I don't know. I don't know how to talk about what good writing is. We all know good writing when we see it, but it's just so... But I saw so many things in the book that I was like, was that in the show? So what?
So I mean, like five times, there's like, it's like five times longer than the show is.
Whoa.
So the show is like 10,000 words and the book is like 50,000 words. And so like what I would do is like, it's about the first 13 months of my daughter's life and my wife's and 9 months of my wife's pregnancy before that. And then I basically went into my journals and stuff from that period of time. And I wrote out like fuller stories from that period of time. And so like, there's tons of new stuff in it. And I'm like, in some ways, I mean, look, I mean, we all say this, if we have a new special, if we have a new movie, whatever it is, it's like the proudest I've ever been of something I've written. But I do feel like you get better as a writer. Like, I think the more, like, that's the thing people ask for writing advice. It's like, the only writing advice is write.
I know that's the toughest thing because sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe it'll make me a better writer to read more. Like, I always want to take the shortcut.
Your jokes, by the way, about reading are some of the funniest jokes I've ever heard.
Thank you. Thank you. Reading is just feels like such an accomplishment to me, but writing is the hardest thing I've ever done. I mean, I'm attempting to write a book because I have interest in that. And now that there's no stand-up, I'm like, okay, I can't just turn down this money anymore. But sure. I don't know if I can do it, Mike. You already were writing in journals. I mean, what's your background with actual writing?
So like when I was in high school, I took a lot of creative writing classes. When I was in college, I took screenwriting and playwriting classes. Mm-hmm. And so like when I was in college, I wrote like 3 feature length screenplays and like I thought I was going to be a screenwriter. And then I discovered that's actually not a job you can apply for. Like literally, like, isn't it weird how from college to like life, you realize it pops the balloon of fantasy on like you think it's a job and then you're like, oh, that's not even a job.
No. And the closest you can get to it being an actual job is just going on to teach that.
No, I know. That's it.
Yeah. It's really discouraging. And I feel as someone I know I'm a good writer because I was an English major. I got good grades. I can just bust out an essay over at last minute and get an A on it. I like comedy. That's why I found comedy. It's last minute writing for me. Like I just write a joke. I'm not someone who toils over the structure and the word choice and just, I kind of say it enough that it finds its way, but actually writing, sitting down and writing, it's paralyzing the fear that I have over it.
Here's what I'd recommend. There's one of my favorite writers is Mary Carr and she has this book called The Art of Memoir. And she's written some of the best memoirs I've ever read. She wrote The Liars Club and this book called Cherry, another book called Lit. And her books are amazing. And you can, she reads them herself on audiobook. So like if you go on Audible, which you can also find my book that I read on. but she's, this book, Art of Memoir, is amazing. One of the things that she says, and I ended up using this in my podcast, Working It Out, where I ask my guests a series of prompts. So like one of them is like, do you remember a smell from childhood?
Ooh.
And so for me, I remember when I was a kid, I like the YMCA pool smell. Like the thing about the YMCA pool is like, they are not shy about their use of chlorine at the Y. Like, I don't know what the hell kind of heinous crime they're covering up, but something went down. I don't know if there was like a mob hit in the middle of the night. They're like, do we dig a ditch or do we bring the body down to the YMCA? I got a family membership. We drop it in the deep end. you know, like there's something up
by morning. That
there's
is
something
so,
is up.
Yeah, the I love a good prompt. Does that so I'm gonna read that book because I need help. I've tried everything. I actually hired a girl to ghostwrite for me, and I got and she wrote an essay for me based on a long conversation we had. And I was just like, I'm gonna have to rewrite this. Yes, it's
don't
good.
Do it.
But,
don't do it, Nikki.
I just got the bill for it. It was $2,400 to talk to this woman for an hour and to have her write 1,400 words.
You gotta be kidding me. You know who you should link up with is my director Seth Barish does like an extraordinary amount of like work with me where I'll pitch him a story and he'll reflect back to me what he hears from it.
Ooh.
So like I'll say like I had this story, you know, where I sleepwalked through a window and blah blah blah, and he'll go, well, what I get from that is this and this and this. And when you hear someone say a story back to you, it's really helpful to be like, oh, that's what that is.
That's good. Okay, I'll try that.
He's phenomenal, but like it's, yeah, you should totally write a book because I always say this. I was talking to Greg Warren, our mutual friend from St. Louis, the other day about you, and like you're one of the few people who I've known in comedy who, when you talk, it's funny. Like when you tell stories, it's funny. You are just a funny person. And so when you're writing a book, honestly, it's about the sheer amount of hours you're going to put into it.
Right.
And then the ability for you to edit it back.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you saying that. And I even predicted that you were going to boost my self-esteem after this because it is low right now. It's as low as it can go. And
I've been so depressed lately.
I'm
in the same boat. Yeah.
But I want to ask about that because I feel like so much of my self-esteem comes from having a project to promote or having something on the table. Now, obviously this book is huge. It's coming out. It is out, right?
It is out. Yeah.
It is out.
Even you just missed saying that right now is my depression.
I know.
It's like you have like, this book coming out and you're my friend.
I know. That's
We're
bad.
Friends and you're like, your book's coming out. It came out last week, Nikki.
Okay. I understand. Why that
and you better
you.
Keep that in.
I'm going to keep it in. I fucked it up because everyone, you know, when you promote something, you don't know
if they're
promoting for the future. You kind of like gloss over it. You don't look at the date. So please don't take any offense to me.
I'm not at all.
Okay. But the fact that you, I mean, I think if I wrote a book ever, just one, I'd be set for that. I'd be like, I did the hardest thing that could ever happen, that I could ever do. And you've written, I hope I don't get this wrong, two books.
Two books.
This is what I really want to know before we have to go. When did you find time to do it? How did you make time? What did you do? Is it a ritualistic thing that you did? And I also want to talk about your journaling because do you journal like every day? I mean, how do you keep comedy writing separate than one man show writing separate from book writing separate from journaling?
So the way that I wrote the book was it's all in cafes. And my wife and I both write in cafes. For me, it's because I stay awake.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. Like, I'll go to a cafe at 9 a.m. I'll be like, I just have to stay here till noon. I can drink as much coffee as I want. Mm-hmm. And I just have to keep writing. And that's it. I have to stay awake and I have to keep writing.
How many hours? Do you like put an hour
3 hours
on it? Or do you-
3 hours. I don't think more than 3 hours. I think that you get diminishing returns. There's like a famous Hemingway line, which is like advice, you want to leave enough ink in the pen that the next day you have somewhere to start.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to like blow yourself out of everything you have.
You'll like a full, you should bring your laptop fully charged and write until it just has enough power to start the next day.
That's exactly it.
That's the updated Hemingway version of that. That's a good idea.
You're Nikki. I always think of you as the new Hemingway, but now it's official.
No, what about with cafes being closed?
Oh my God.
I relate to that.
Outdoor cafes.
Okay.
Phase two, outdoor cafes.
Okay.
I think you're good. I think, look, Nikki, like you're like one of the people, you're like one of the few people I know because we both know so many comedy frauds, right?
Yes.
We don't have to name names and they're not funny, right?
Right.
and we know they're not funny, and we all talk about it. There's a whisper campaign.
I'm scared I'm one of those.
No, you're not. You're not.
But so I feel like I've convinced people that I'm not. Like, I've convinced smarter people that I am not. Like, I just think by virtue of being a nice person, people I respect like you might think I'm funny, but you really don't. No. I've tricked you.
I'm telling you, and I said this to Greg Warren the other night when I was talking on the phone with him. I was like, the funniest I've ever seen Nikki is when I would do my Working It Out shows in Brooklyn, and you would come and you just free associate on stage and you talk and riff and tell stories. And I'm like, I feel like if you could bottle that in a book or whatever you're putting it in, I think that's gold, because I think like you're the real deal. Like, I think there's so many, I just think in our field, there's so many frauds. Like, there's so many people where it's like, it's more of like a commercial for a comedian than a comedian. Yes. It's like, well, I love that commercial for that comedian. He's like, but do you like the comedian? well, the comedian, he's not so funny, but the commercial for him is hilarious.
God, you're so right. And I really appreciate you saying that, because I do. But do you ever feel that way too, though, that you feel like a fraud? Like, what am I doing? Like, is that where some of your depression sometimes comes from? Where does it come from?
My depression lately has just been
where?
Between Tulsa and, and obviously cabin fever, you're living with your parents. I'm with my wife and daughter. Like, it's the people I love, but at a certain point you're like, I feel like I need to speak to someone else also, or else I'm like,
and that's when you say yes to Elon Gold's Instagram live show.
Yes.
Like, I'm so desperate.
Yes. And then just like the state of everything is, it's quite sad right now. I mean, I feel like with, the Black Lives Matter stuff is really sad. The police violence is really sad. Like, there's so many things like compounding on top of itself, some of our comedy peers being terrible. It's sad. It's just sad.
It really, you're not wrong. And all the things that were sad before all of these things popped off are still sad too. Like, I'm getting depressed now because like you go to a restaurant and it's all plastic silverware and we have to do that because of COVID. But then I'm like, this is so much waste. Now I get depressed about like environmental stuff, really like sad. And that COVID has made it so much more wasteful. Plastic bags, you have to go to the grocery store and use plastic bags. You can't bring your own. I'm like, fuck.
It's so interesting that you should say that, because I was thinking the other day, because I'm like a hyper recycler. Well, guess what? China's not even taking our recycling anymore.
Oh, I know.
So a lot of the stuff that we're recycling right now, it's just going to the garbage anyway.
It's an illusion. Yeah.
I hate to be that person who's saying that, but it's actually true.
I know. It's
and there's so much waste right now with COVID. So much. And then and so many people have died. I mean, it's like, I feel like it is so hard every day to get over the despair and not despair. I mean, the enemy is despair, because if you're despairing, then you have no more energy left to fight.
Does writing help your depression? I mean, do you actually journal every day?
I don't journal every day. I journal like every few days, mostly when I'm angry.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually, like, I always say this to people, like, if they get angry or depressed or like whatever, it's like, I always say just write in a journal, because it's the least expensive form of therapy. Because by the end of it, you read what you were writing about and you're like, well, I'm being a little bit irrational here.
Yes, yes. My friend actually coined a term. I spent time with a grade school friend this weekend, and she tells her, she's a personal trainer. She tells her clients to journ and burn. Journal, rip it out, and then burn it in like a ritual way. Because anything you're writing that you wouldn't want to burn is not going to get the shit out anyway. It should be something that you want to get rid of and get it out.
I always think that like if I died, which all of us can, that's what my next show is about. My next show is called YMCA Pool that I'm working on. And it's all about how it was my birthday this weekend. I'm turned 42.
Oh my which gosh. Which is, happy
I know.
Birthday.
Thanks. But it's like halfway through my life. Not technically, not everybody dies at 84, but no one's ever like 80 through 100. Those are the years. They're like, I was 83. I reached for a grape and I never walked again. So like, you know, like I think about like death all the time. Like any of us can die every time, at any time. And it's well, what if I die and they fucking read my journals? My journals are terrible. They're literally terrible.
Yeah, you wanna go through and edit them to make them better. You're more embarrassed not about the content, but about how bad they are.
Right. They pick up my journal. They're like, the great Mike Birbiglia wrote in his journal, I'm so sad today. You know, like it's just like not eloquent at all.
There's nothing funny about it. Well, I really want to just say that the new one, Painfully True Stories from a Reluctant Dad. I saw the Broadway show. It was just so powerful. So the best work I've seen from you.
Thanks. And which is
saying so much, because I've always just looked at you as truly one of the greats, not saying that with any kind of irony, like just someone I aspire to be in so many ways. But the new one, the new book, I would really recommend my listeners get this book for any new parent, any parent at all, honestly, but someone maybe who's even thinking about having kids, someone who's sure they're not going to have kids. It's a good birthday present for a new mom, a new dad, someone who's going to be having kids in 7 months from now. I mean, this is a book that is going to, so honest in your approach to being very reluctant dad is the words I want to hone in on there. This was not, having a baby was not in the plans for you necessarily.
It was not in the plans. And it's like, and it's dark, you know, it's darkly comic. Like I'm telling people the stuff that like I would never want to admit to anyone.
Yeah.
And like, you know, what's weird about that? I don't know if you find this as a comic, but like sometimes people will be like, too much information. You're like, exactly. You mean the point?
Yes.
Like, isn't that what a book is? It's too much information. It's not a tweet.
Yes. I'm excited to read it, because if it's five times the length of the show I saw, I can't even imagine what other stories you admit to and things, because it was so honest, Mike. I mean,
thanks.
You know, when I first saw you as a comic and just revered you so much, you were talking about your fears of bears and just like cutesy stories that were just so perfectly written and had more punchlines than I could even imagine, you know, ringing out of a topic. But this, you're admitting things that you never really expected to admit. At what point in your career do you think you shifted to like the honest?
I did this I did a story for The Moth when I was, you know, I don't know, 25 years old. It was like 2003 maybe. Mm-hmm. And it was one of these things where I told this story about, it's the My Girlfriend's Boyfriend title story, which is like in high school, I had my first girlfriend and she told me she had another boyfriend, but it was fine because they're breaking up. And then like eventually like she invites me to meet her parents. And I'm like, yay. And I go there and then he's there too. Like I swear to, and this is a totally true story. And I was like, so I'm meeting my girlfriend's boyfriend. And then he says, let's go hang out at my house. And we went to his house. And I go, it's very strange meeting your girlfriend's boyfriend's parents for the first time. It's like, you feel terrible, but you also don't want to make a bad impression, you know? And like, it was actually when I told that for The Moth, it was the first time where I was like, I think I'm better at this than just jokes. I really do. And I feel like I was connecting with an audience where I was like, I think that we are kindred spirits. Like there's something that's beyond jokes here that feels, and I feel a deep relationship with my fans. Like when my fans come up to me, I'm not like, all right, see ya. Like immediately, I feel like I like my fans. Like I feel like I don't have the most fans, but I think I have like the funniest and most empathetic fans.
Yes. Yes. I relate to that because of the same thing, because of they're attracted to this kind of oversharing type of comedy. So it must resonate with them. Thus they must be like me. And I just, most of my fans, I'm like, oh, we would be friends.
Totally. When someone says too much information, I'm like, oh, that's a great title.
Yeah. It's, I read part of your book this morning and I don't usually laugh out loud. Like I'm not usually LOLing at reading, and it got me a couple times, like, of like by myself in my kitchen, not trying to like impress my dad, like I'm reading, right? You know when you like laugh out loud at something to like make people think that you are smarter than you are. I mean, I was sitting alone laughing out loud. So I can't recommend this book enough. If you are late to get a Father's Day gift, boom. This is what to get. The new one, Mike Birbiglia. Pick it up. Like I'm saying, like I told you, it's a great gift for anyone who's even thinking about having kids, and certainly for anyone who has kids. So
and anyone who's banging.
And anyone who's banging.
To bring it back to you.
That. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for stopping by today, Mike.
It's always the most fun talking to you.
Agreed.
Whether we're gossiping on the phone or whether we're
yeah,
on a
podcast.
Yeah,
we got some stuff to talk about. I can't wait to call you pretty soon. We've got a lot to talk about off air.
Yeah.
Thanks again. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right, awesome.
Squirt, squirt, and jackpot.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.